And he walked all the way to the Crusades from Italy. He walked there. And he met Saladin, and he talked to him, and he caught a boat back to Italy, and he became famous, and the Pope wanted to see him, and the Pope called him to Rome. And the Pope took him to the Vatican and showed him the treasure room in the Vatican, and where they had each pope and had a special crown, and each pope gets his own crown with jewels and gold, and they have everything there and all the other treasures. And the Pope says to St. Francis, he says, "Look, Francis," he says, "no longer does the church have to say, 'Silver and gold have I none.' Look what we have." And St. Francis looks at the Pope and he says, "The shame of the church is that it can no longer say, 'Get up and walk in the name of Jesus.'" That's the shame of the church. That we read the book and we don't believe the book. We don't walk in the things of the book. We don't believe it here. We believe it here, but we don't do it. And that's a shame. And that's our shame. It's ours, and we carry it. The church is not a nice social club. We're supposed to change the world. The world's supposed to be different when we come into a room. About a year ago, my wife and I were, no, I was there without my wife. I was at a different church, and a young girl came up and laid hands on me and prophesied over me. And she said that you and your wife, me, have labored for years for fruit and worked hard for fruit. And she said that time is passing and a moment is coming up where the fruit will be ready on the trees and it's going to drop in your hands and you will see the fruit of God. That moment's coming and I hope it's now. I hope it starts now. It's time. It's time for us to be real. And for us to walk in this thing and to believe the word and to do the greater things and to be the greater people and to cause change where we come in. Amen. We should be about the Father's business and not our business. Well, Father God, I pray for this weekend. I pray for tonight. I pray for you to be manifest in our hearts. I pray that you give the Holy Spirit a spoon to cut out our hearts and rip them out and put your heart there. And so we can proceed and be your heart and do as you want us to do. And that we cry and we weep over a lost world and a sick world that's not getting healed. And lost people. And Jesus came to set the captives free. May we be free. May we not be captive. May we go forth first. And may we carry your word. Lord, make us real. Circumcise our hearts. And may we be real. Thank you, my Jesus. Amen. I'm sorry, that was heavy, but that's what the Lord put on me. It's time. It's time that we walk in this thing. It's time we be real. It's time we do this thing. I've had one rule since I've become a Christian. If it's in the book, I want to do it. If it's in that book, I want it. I want to do it. I want to walk through it. I want to be it. That's my rule. That's it. So, I hope that's your heart too, that this thing becomes real. Anyway, so this weekend, maybe we will learn something new. Maybe we'll be shaken out of our place that we're at into a new place, a better place, a moving place where we can affect lives and change lives. So, we're going to have the people from Global School of Supernatural Ministry come out. You know, I got a question. I tell my kids this. If God's not about the supernatural, what's he about? It's that simple. if he's not about the supernatural? I mean, he spoke the world into existence. That's the first chapter of Genesis. He goes, exists, and a world exists. Is that normal and natural? Now, here's the second part of that. When God moves, he moves through people. He moves through Moses. He moves through Elijah. He moved through Jesus. He moved through Peter. He moved through Paul. And he's supposed to move through us. But he can't move through us unless we are willing. We have to be willing. So please have an open mind and open heart. If it's in the book, don't be afraid of it. Embrace it. Walk in it. So if you'll stand and give the global people a gateway welcome, thank you.
I'm Abby. Hey. Feel free to call me, whatever. Answer just about anything. A little bit about myself. I'm 19, but I'll be 20 this weekend, actually. It's my birthday weekend. Oh, yeah. Thanks. And I'm a second-year student at the School of Supernatural Ministry. I love it. I've learned a lot. It's really... I needed it at this time of my life. Just simple. Needed to go. And today, tonight actually, we'll be talking about love. It's very, I don't know, I've always been told, like as a child, to love everybody. Something my parents like instilled to me my whole life. I was friends with just about anybody in high school, really didn't matter who you were, I talked to you. And it always, my parents just gave up, like my junior year, asking who was coming over because they'd be like so different. Could be friends with like the jocks and the skateboarders and the cheerleader and then like people that were pregnant, like anybody, they'd be over. So they just gave up asking. They were just like, oh, just another person Abby's friends with, okay. And to me, that's how it should be. I hope I instill that in my children, that we should love everybody equally and for who they are, and that sometimes we might be the only person in their life that can show them like who God is, and God loves everybody. So if I'm that to one person, to me, it's fine. I don't have to be to anybody else, just that one person, and my life is good. God, in Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his own image, and so he created us. So if we are created in the image of God, then we should be that to everybody. The first, when you meet someone, the first impression is, to me, the most important, because normally they, how they remember you. So even if you're having, like, a bad day and you're in a horrible mood and you go to meet somebody new, that might be the one person in that day that you need to be nice to, because they could have had just an equal or more, like, bad day, but showing them, oh, like, I will still love you and still be there no matter what you've done, what how your day's been. Just a simple hello might be all they need. And you don't realize the power of, like, a hello, because I used to work at Sonic. Worked there for like 2 years from Ohio. And so like my junior and senior year, that's all I did. I went to school and I went to work. That was pretty much my life. They'd always call me in early to work and I'd always have to stay late. So it'd be school from like 8 to 1:30 because like at the school I went to, I was an early release. And then I'd go work at Sonic 2 to midnight. And it was like every day. And for this lady, she was... I was running the drive-thru, and I just said, like, a simple thing, like, I like your purse. To me, like, wasn't anything, like, oh, it was, like, this big, big, great life changer that I gave her, just, I like your purse. And it was, like, 2 months later, and she, like, came back. I think I was working drive-thru again that day, too. And she's, like, you're the girl that, like, told me that you, like, liked my purse. I was, like, oh, yeah, like, I remember, because she told me it was, like, a new one she had just bought. She's like, I was having a horrible day that day, and just how you were just so nice and gave me that compliment. It's what I really needed. And she gave me like a $10 tip. So I was like, to me, it would have meant nothing. Just like, I get people compliments all the time, and I don't really think about it. But then, like, it just hit me in that moment. Like, you don't realize just, like, what a simple I like your purse could, like, mean to somebody. And I was like, okay. Like, and at Sonic, it was hard working there. I hated it. I really did. It was horrible. The people I worked with, they were, I couldn't even tell you the stories. But I'd like come home and I would cry myself to sleep for how like much I. But then my mom one day, we were talking about it, and she was like, Abby, you might, like, you know that you have to be like the only one that even like attends church, even like grew, like, is a Christian. They're like, you're the only person that they probably come across in their whole day that is going to get to know what God and who Jesus is through you. And that, like, changed my whole attitude about going to work. So then I was there, and I was like, yeah, I got this. So, and it really did, like, within maybe, like, a month, I saw, like, a difference in people. Like, one of my managers, she's not a manager anymore there, but her now ex-husband had did horrible things, like, stolen like her name and used it to get like prescriptions, and then was like selling it to other people. So then when he got caught, it all came back onto her. And then like he had faked their whole marriage. He was really married to another girl, or like trying to, it was just horrible. And she would come to work and she would cry every day and like didn't want to do anything. She'd stand like at this was the desk where the computer is. She'd just stand there like this all day and she wouldn't even move. She'd stand there, and then maybe she'd go outside to, like, because she smoked cigarettes. So she'd go out there and cry some more, come back in and cry again. So I'd, like, talk to her. I'm like, you know, like, I understand that he was not, like, the greatest man. He treated you horribly, but you're going to find a great man. I was like, that is not what God intends in a marriage. I was like, it's not what he wants for you. It's not. He created you in his own image, and he loves you for who you are, and he's going to take that and give you a great marriage. And she does. She is now remarried, and they actually had a kid, because she had been told, like, that she couldn't have kids, so she always saw her, like, husband's, like, kids, which was her stepkids, it was, like, her own. So then when she got remarried and she had a kid, it was, like, great. I was, like, yeah, that's what he wanted for you. And but so I'd always talk to her, and I would like, I'd invite them all to church all the time. And one day she was like, Abby, can you bring your Bible? I can. Brought it to work, and we made copies of the scriptures, and I don't know, it just like hit me differently. And then my like old GM, she asked me like pray for her son one day. So we spent like 20 minutes in the break room. And I just prayed for her and her family and her son because he was having surgery, and she just cried, and I just held her. And I was like, that made work a little bit more bearable. Still kind of bad, but it made it better. And then over the summer, this girl, Christina, she was like, Abby, why are you always in a good mood? I was like, well, I'm not always in a good mood, but I really don't have anything to complain about half the time. I was like, if I woke up and I'm alive, grateful for that. So just try to be happy. And she's like, you are just always so pleasant and nice to be around. And even when we're in like a rush and you're stressed, you're still like never angry or like rude towards anybody. I was like, I try not to be. So I was like, that means a lot. And so I was like, if you just, like, people, like, I hope, since I no longer work there, I quit over Christmas. It was so freeing, though. It was great. And I was like, but I hope that's how they remember me. Not, like, why I quit or if I was in a bad mood when I quit, but that I was always in a good mood. And I always tried to be, like, no matter what. And then, so, like, talk about my family. They're just so, I love them. They're great to me. I wouldn't say they're like a normal family. So my mom and my dad, like, they're divorced. And I think they split up when I was 2 weeks. And then I think by the time I was 2 years old, like, the divorce was finalized. And now they're, like, both remarried. But they've never one time talked bad about each other to me. Like, when I've been at their house, because, like, my mom used to live in West Virginia. And then, so my dad, like, came up, spent the whole day with my mom just for my first day at kindergarten. And then we, like, moved back. So now they live, like, a mile apart, which I think is funny. But so then, like, my mom she'll go out to coffee with, like, my stepmom. They're all come over to my house for, like, my birthday and stuff. She would teach my half-sister her piano lessons when I'm, like, at school. My stepsister, because my mom lives across from a hill, so we always go sledding. She, like, went over to my mom's house and just knocked on the door because she wanted hot chocolate. I'm like, that is so, like, weird. Like, most people, like, my stepsister went to my mom's house when I'm out of state for hot chocolate. And it's always been like that. Like, it's always been the same punishment at both houses. It sucked, but it was okay. They just always agreed on everything. Like, it wasn't like a normal, like, divorced family. It was just, they're still like a unit. They're still my mom and my dad, and I'm still their child. So no matter what the reason of the divorce was or what happened, it should always be like that. And then my siblings, because for a while, like, during the holidays, I would get angry. Like, I was mad because it was just like, oh, they can't be together. I always had, like, Christmas with my mom, with my dad. I'd have to take turns waking up at each, like, house every year. And then I'd have, like, my stepmoms to go to, then my stepdads. But I was like, if they didn't, like, remarry, like, I wouldn't have the family I have now. It's like, I wouldn't have my little sister, wouldn't have my other sister, and I wouldn't have either my brothers. I was like, okay, I got to look at it like that. And then, so I'm the oldest. So I always felt like that I had to be, like, the example, and I always tried to be. And my little sister, okay, now I'm going to cry. I love her to death. Like, she's extremely close to me. She'll ask for my advice rather than my parents. And, like, I'm going to cry thinking of them. And my brother, both my brothers, like, they always know that they can come and talk to me, like, no matter what. And I wouldn't trade that for, like, anything, because it means so much to me that they can do that. And just to see, like, who I am and, like, how God created them, it's amazing to me. Like, I can't wait to see what they are when they're older and, like, how they grow up to me. And so I'm like, if my dad had never met, like, my stepmom, I wouldn't have that relationship with my sister. Like, we wouldn't be so close. Like, yeah, it's hard when I'm away for college, but we Skype all the time because she gets mad at me if we don't. And if I'm home, even if I'm home for just, like, a day, I have to see her or she'll be mad. And I made it very clear when, like, I was home, I think it was Thanksgiving. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So it's like 2 weeks I was home, and my friend came with me, and we went to go stay at my cousin's house. So me and my cousin are really close to. She's more like my sister. Like, tell her everything. So I went to stay there, and I, like, told my sister and brother, like, oh, I'll be back over the weekend. And they got so mad because I left. I was like, I'll be back. Like, I'm not leaving forever. And they didn't talk to me for, like, a day. Like, got over it. I was like, I promise we can hang out a ton when I'm back. I was like, but it's important for me to see my other family too. And it's just funny. Because then I was talking about, like, I didn't know what to do when school was out. So we were talking about our plans. And I was just open to it. I was like, yeah, I think, like, I really want to live near a beach really bad. And so I was like, yeah, I should just move and go. And so that my brother was like, oh, what do you want for, like, Christmas? I was like, something for, like, an apartment. He's like, no, I'm not supporting it because I don't want you to leave. I'm like, Jarrett, I'll be back. And not, I don't know, like just trying to be like the example. And it does encourage me to do, like, I want to do better because I want them to see what they're capable of and me as an example. And I don't want to let them down if they look up to me and I'm the role model and they can talk to me with about anything. I want them to always have that, like, no matter what they do, no matter what, like, I'll be there. And over Christmas break, it was very apparent to how, like, to me for how much they look up to me. And just, like, the stuff that they did, like, my little sister, she's almost like a little version of me. So I was like, oh, no, I got to do really good because she'll, like, do any, like, if I told her that she needed to, like, cut off her arm because I had told her that she had to, she probably would. So, like, I gotta make sure that I, like, try to do my best and know that no matter what, that I always love them. Like, always there. To me, there is, like, nothing they could do wrong in my eyes that would make me love them any differently than I do today. And I was just, and, like, family is hard to love. Because you can love, like, a stranger because you don't know their, like, story. You don't know anything about them. You just see them and you just give them a hug. But family, you know what all they've done. And so for me, like, me and my stepdad, we have not always got along the best. We have some bad fights, like, bad ones. And I was like, he's not a Christian. So I know, again, like, I have to be that example to him. And I have seen a change, Adam, like a change in him, and it's been weird. I'm like, Mom, like, is he on some new medication I don't, like, know about? Because this is not normal for him. And she's like, no, he's just changing. Like, over, so I was home for Easter, and he, like, texted me and was like, have you heard from your mom? I was like, no. She's like, at a doctor's appointment. And he was like, yeah, I forgot. Love you bunches. I was like, what? I was like, you never text me, love you, like, ever. So I, like, called my mom. I was like, Mom, are you positive that he is, like, not on anything new? And she's like, yeah. I was like, it is just so weird. I was like, but God can change and restore anybody. So the fact that he can do it in my stepdad, it's just, I know it will stay. I really have seen it's changed and hardened him. So it makes me look at him differently because some of the stuff he has done, like, I've been mad. Like, sometimes, I mean, I'm not perfect, so I can have an attitude. And he just, I don't know, it's just taken me a while. But I know I can get past it and look at him now and just seeing, like, the difference in how he, like, acted, like, my brother, he had gotten in trouble, and I thought for sure my stepdad was going to lose his cool and yell at him because that's, like, his dad. And he didn't. Like, he was just so calm about it and, like, such a different approach. And it, like, it changed my brother's attitude, too. And I was like, this is so weird. I was like, Mom, what is going on? She's like, no, like, God hears our prayers. So it became very evident to me that he heard my prayers from my stepdad when I saw him not lose his cool and say he loved me. I was like, oh, no. It just hit me hard when I was home. I cried about it. I was like, and so, like, if the greatest thing that, like, God did is when he died on the cross, it covered everything for us. Like, that was the greatest act of love. Like, that had to hurt being nailed to a cross. I don't know if I could do it. I have my pain tolerance kind of low. So I'm like, that'd be painful. I don't know if I could do it. I'm like, so the fact that he did it to me, and it's the same for everybody, then, I don't know, like, it was, like, I saw a picture of, like, him on the cross, and every time, because I was getting, like, I was getting angry at my stepdad again, and he was like, Abby, I did that for you. I was like, yeah, I know you did. And he was like, I did it for your stepdad too. I did it for everybody, and it's the same. I was like, I had to apologize. Like, that is true. And if the second greatest commandment is to love your enemy as yourself, then I gotta always love myself. Like, you can't, like, love people if you don't truly love who you are first. So if I know, like, who I am, like, my dad's a king, I'm his daughter, so is everyone else. And I just have to look at it like that. Like, when he did that and it was done, no matter what we did, all our sins were covered up on that cross. It was taken care of. So I know that even people are going to mess up and make mistakes, and we can learn and grow from it. But I'm going to still love them the same. I should love them no matter what they did. And yeah, that can be challenging, but God, like, he, God would go up and talk to anybody. So, like, I should do the same. Like, when he died on the cross, he did it for, like, the drug addict, too. He did it for everybody. And I was like, I don't know, it just made me cry for, like, hours. And to me, one of the greatest stories to me of an act of love is in Luke 7:36 through 50. And I'm just going to read it. So, when one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. A woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed him, and poured perfume on him. When the Pharisees who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man was a prophet, he would know who was touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner. Jesus answered him, Simon, I have something to tell you. He said, two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed $500 and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave them of the debts of both of them. Now, which one of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven. You judge correctly, Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into her house. You did not give me any water to my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put the oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So when I just picture her, like, being there and having this, like, beautiful heirloom of her family, and it's pouring, like, it has the most beautiful smell. That's how I picture it. And then you go and you see Jesus, and she breaks it, and it all goes on to him. If you pour something, you can control how much you pour, but if you break it, it's all gonna go. I was like, so the fact that it was the most valuable thing that she had, and she just gave it all to him, that's what I should do with my life. Like, to me, my life is the most valuable thing I have, me living. And just to give it all to him is, like, the greatest thing I could do. And this is really random, but when you go and you're, like, talking to people, and you just, like, give them a scripture and say it's, like, whatever they're going through, it's in the past, give them a little scripture, go on. Sometimes that's not what they need to hear. Just tell them it's okay. Like, it will be okay. It's what they need to hear. If you want to cry, I'll cry with you. You can talk to me and I'll listen, but that it will be okay. And that's what I've noticed in one of my roommates, because she's really been through a lot. And so to telling her, yeah, it's in the past. No, it will eventually be in the past. It's going to take time for you to heal. And every time she tells me a little bit more about her life, I just cry. Because I'm like, the fact that she went through so much and came out who she is today just amazes me. It's like someone, and she's still wounded and hurt, so she'll cry. And I'll sit there and hold her and I'll cry with her. And then just like, just that it'll be okay. And sometimes that's all we need to hear. That's why I need to hear a lot of the time. Like, it'll just be okay. Like, Abby, tomorrow's a new day. That's right. So I just got to remind myself of that sometimes. So I'm just going to end it there. I'd love to, me and my team would love to pray for any of you. It can be prayer for anything, really. So if you, you know, just feel free to come up or even just introduce yourself. Love to say hello.
So at Global, we really, healing is one of our hallmarks. And we really want to pray for the sick tonight. So let me just tell you some of the things we've seen in the last few weeks, months. just recently, I was on a trip to Massachusetts. And we were with a church there that was just, it was brand new. It had just been started. And it was kind of, they invited people from the community to come out. There were about, I don't know, 60 people one night, and we just really wanted to go after healing. And these people were from all different kinds of churches, all different kinds of faiths, so we didn't really know what to expect or even really how to approach, like, how do we explain what we're doing? So we just went for it. But we really were fortunate to have some really amazing pastors with us who were just really open to, like, guys, you just do what you want. So, during that time, we saw deliverances, which we were not expecting because we just didn't expect it. And we also saw several legs grow out. We had several people in the church who were having severe back pain, and one of their legs was actually shorter than the other, and it was over the course of those 3 days that we had four or five legs grow out and actually see the legs come forward and be in alignment, which was not something we had seen at some of the other conferences we'd been at. So do you have any testimonies you want to share? My name is Grace, sorry. I'm Grace, I'm from Texas, and I go to the Global School of Supernatural Ministry as well, and this is Amber.
Hi, guys. Recently I went to Montana, and I'm a PK, pastor's daughter, and so I've been raised in the church, but didn't realize how God could use us. God can use the little old me's, and for the past year and a half, God has completely transform my life just being at Global and just being open and allowing God to bring out everything that is not good and to allow him to fill you with his presence and everything that just transformation happens. And it's so awesome. I know that for Abby, tonight was a huge stretch for her. And so, like, just from the amazing, she's just gone through so much transformation. She's young yet, but the amazing testimony that she has in her own life is amazing. But recently I went to Montana. We drove there. It took about 3 days. And while we were driving, we would stop it to get gas and stuff like that. And we just go up. It's not about, you know, telling your whole life story. It's about saying, hey, can I just bless you with this? Hey, I hear God's, you know, God speaks to me, and I hear that this is going on in your life. Is that true? Or just saying that, just have a blessed day. God just loves you. And as Abby was saying, it really does empower people. But when we were in Montana, they have the spirit of suicide over the whole city. And so tomorrow we're going to be teaching on words of knowledge and stuff like that. But somebody had a word of knowledge for suicide, and this girl comes up to me, and she begins to tell me her story, and she's like, that was me, you know, last night, which this was Saturday morning. Friday night, we actually had a service, and after the service, she went into the bathroom, brought her cell phone charger and stuff like that, and she was like, God, I'm done. I'm just done. And something stopped her. And she was there then Saturday morning, and God just delivered her, and God just loved on her. And it's just amazing to see how God loves on every single person. It doesn't matter who you are. God loves everybody. And I saw a leg grow out as well. And the really cool thing is, at the second church we were at, this elderly man came up to us and he was shaking. And so, you know, we know from Parkinson's and stuff like that. And we just loved on him, and he was telling us his story and just loving, loving, loving. And one of the girls that was on our trip does Sozo. And so, you know, she was, you know, she did like healing and deliverance and stuff with him. And here he had this huge, huge testimony about, you know, being abused when he was younger and all this other stuff. And every night he gave more and more to God and released more and more and got delivered from more and more. And it went from this to this to this and then to completely still. By the fourth night, he was able to hold a cup of coffee for the first time in like 20 years. And it's just amazing to see what God has done. And it's crazy because it's like, God, you use me. Why me? I'm 28 years old and, you know, why me, God? And it's just amazing. So just know that he can use every single one of you. And it doesn't matter who you are, what your background has been. Just God loves every single person, and he has a destiny and a purpose. And I really feel like this weekend, we were praying in the back that there's something new that's going to happen in this body through this weekend. And we just pray that would happen and that God would just begin to transform hearts and lives, and that you guys would be touched and transformed by the renewing of his mind, and that healings would happen. And so, yeah, we just want to open the altar. If anybody has pain in their bodies or anything like that, or if you just want prayer, it'd be awesome. Is somebody from the worship team still here? Okay. Can somebody just play? Maybe just for a little bit. If anybody wants prayer, we're up here. And then we just want to release you guys. So I'm just going to pray. So God, we thank you for tonight, God. We thank you, God, because you're an amazing God. Father, we just invite the presence to come like never before, God. Father, we pray, Lord, that we would not leave the same as we walked in this building, God. Father, I pray, Lord, that this weekend would be something new for this church and this congregation. Something new, something fresh, God. Father, release your spirit tonight, starting right now, God. Release, 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 God. Release, God. Release, God. Release your anointing, God. Release your fire. Yeah. Fresh wind, fresh breath of heaven, fill this place, God. Father, come right now, God. Just speak increase, 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 increase. And God, I pray, Lord, that we would all go home safely tonight and return tomorrow. And as we're driving, God, I pray, Lord, that you would just minister to hearts and minister to lives, God. And just love on people. God, we thank you for every good thing that you've done for us. We thank you for everything that you've taught us. And God, we're just asking for more. We're asking for more tonight, God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just release a fresh wind of your spirit in every single person, from the children into the oldest, God. Release. May they feel your arms of love wrapped around them tonight, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. So if anybody wants to come up for prayer, you're more than welcome to. If you just want to sit in your seat and just receive from God, you're more than welcome to.